praise to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is a portion of the epistle lesson read before, Romans chapter 14, verses 7 through 9. None of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord. For to this man Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. This is the text. My dear friends in Christ, once again the presidential campaign that is in full swing around us reminds us of the fact that people very often are very aware of belonging to something. They either proud or sometimes ashamed to say that we are Republicans or we are Democrats. Or when asked about the presidential preference, they might say we belong to Curtis supporters, or we belong to Reagan. And in the increasing confusion that is sometimes evident in American politics, that even some people were very happy to say we are independent or we are uncommitted. In our text for this morning, the Apostle Paul also speaks about belonging to someone. But this belonging is not simply something as trivial or transitory as belonging to a political party. But Paul is addressing the believers at Rome with a statement that is a confession. A confession of faith. He is reminding those believers as well as ourselves that we are the Lord. And such a confession is of great importance. But we are not talking about a membership in something that is renewed by the month or by the year, or even about something that is a lifetime membership. But we are talking about something that has eternal significance. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord. The very fact that Paul can make such a statement is a confession of the grace of God. Or if we look at the condition of mankind as it really is, how can it be possible to say something like this? Well, that would be the very last thing that someone examining the condition of man could say, that we are the Lord. But from the time of the fall, man has been going in exactly the opposite direction. Omitting, if you will, the apostrophe from the last word in our sentence, and spelling it with a lowercase l. We are the Lord, the rulers of our own lives. But wasn't that, after all, the temptation that confronted Eve in the garden? Did not the serpent tell her, you shall be as God? And didn't she listen to that temptation when the landing of Adam fell because of it? We don't have to look very far, do we, in our lives or in the lives of the people around us, to see the great condition of sin that we belong to. To know that by being our own Lord, we have become the slaves of other masters, of sin, of death, and of the power of the devil. The apostle put it so well in the fifth chapter of his epistle to the Romans, when he said, no one is righteous, no, not one. All have turned aside. They have turned against the Lord, and there is no knowledge of God in their eyes. Yes, indeed. That is the condition of man. So how is it then that Paul can in our text explain, yes, even exalt in the confession that we are the Lord? And the answer to that lies in the work of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. It's Paul writes, for to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Without Christ, it would be truly impossible to make such a confession. But with him, he becomes the center of our faith, as we confess that he died for our sins and was raised again for our justification. And that message is the power of the gospel, the power of God into salvation. It is the message that was ours already at our baptism when we became here. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we could be truly set apart. But this person who was born, dead, and set apart in sin is now the Lord. And it is the message of the Lord's Supper. The message that in that sacrament we receive his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And this confession that we are the Lord's last into all eternity. It is the one thing that really makes sense when you are staring at the coffin of a loved one. And when you come face to face with your own mortality, when you come face to face with the Lord of death, for the Lord of life is one of the victories. But even in the face of death, the word is true that says, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Jesus himself was brought to the Sadducees. When he interpreted the word spoken to Moses from the burning bush, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, Jesus said, he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For those who have died in him live. As Paul wrote to the Philippians, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And the victory will be made known to all on the last day, when every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. For as we say in the proper purpose, in the communion liturgy for Easter, he who by his death hath destroyed death, and by his rising to life again hath restored to us everlasting life. Yes, indeed. Let this be our confession and our proclamation. In life, in death, and into our eternity, we are the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And I know the peace of God that passes all our understanding. Guard and keep your hearts and minds to faith in Christ Jesus and to life everlasting.